Year 2000. This is an interview with Odessa Chesteen in her home in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. The interviewer is Betsy Brinson. And what shall I call you, Miss Chesteen?
Odessa will be all right.
Odessa's okay. Okay. Why don't we begin, please, by you giving me your full name, your birth date, and your birthplace.
Well, my full name is Odessa Chesteen.
You don't have a middle name?
Well, yes. I did have Francis. Okay. Odessa Francis Major Chesteen.
Okay. And you were born?
And I was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, March 26, 1913.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to talk with me. As I said on the phone a little bit, what we're trying to do is to document the whole period between 1930 and 1975 and the effort to eliminate segregation in Kentucky, and specifically in Hopkinsville. And Reverend Fort suggested that we talk to you because you'd lived in Hopkinsville a long time. So some of what I'm going to ask you is about you, but some of it may be about the community. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we begin? Tell me a little bit about your family and your growing up here, and if you had any grandparents, if you know where your ancestors came from.
No, I don't know a great deal about where my ancestors came from, other than that my grandfather was a minister, and he became a minister because he had been born into slavery as a little one, and his mother worked in the house on the slave property, and he was allowed to play with the children of the slave owner. Mm-hmm. So when the tutor came to teach the young ones, he was allowed to listen in. And when the tutor came back at the end of the two-week period, he seemed to remember more what the teacher had taught than the children did. So the owners allowed him to stay each week because he could help the children with their lessons. Consequently, he, the Bible was a book of choice. He studied the Bible and began to preach, and he taught his brothers to read. And that's where his education came from.
Now, did he live in Kentucky?
I do not know where in the South this was.
Okay, okay.
I don't remember ever hearing that part of it.
How about your grandparents, though?
Now, this is my grandfather I'm talking about.
This is your grandfather? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And when my dad was born, they were living in Kentucky, Pembroke, Kentucky. That's a town near here. Mm-hmm. You probably know it. And my dad married my mother. Her name was Emma Bayless. And he married her, and she became Emma Majors. Mm-hmm. And
do you know how they met?
I didn't hear the story.
Okay.
It wasn't talked about a lot in front of me. It might have been talked about, but I wasn't listening.
Okay.
But at any rate, then he came to Hopkinsville. They came to Hopkinsville from Pembroke. And my father took the civil service examination, passed it, and became a postman here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And he joined the force here. Mm-hmm. And with that as a beginning, we finally moved to this place where we are now. We've been here. I have been here 82 years.
In this house?
In this house.
And the address is
119 Liberty.
Liberty.
And of course the structure has been improved. Mm-hmm. It was nothing like this large. But the front frame, the front of the house was there. Right. This is, of course, you can tell.
Right.
Is an addition.
But I can see some of the front rooms.
Uh-huh.
They have some wonderful architecture.
Very spacious, beautiful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That mm-hmm. architecture mm-hmm. fascinates me.
So you grew up in this house. Did
oh,
you
yes.
have any brothers and sisters?
I had a brother and a sister. My sister died before I was born. Mm-hmm. My brother was 9 years older than I. Mm-hmm. And
how old was your sister when she died?
I don't really know. I assume she must have been a baby for her to have been dead when I was born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did your mother work outside the home?
No, she did not. She lost, the loss of the baby seemingly affected her mind, and she wasn't able to keep abreast of what was going on, so she was institutionalized. Mm-hmm. And I was brought up by a stepmother, mm-hmm. and that's about the size of that.
Where was your mother institutionalized?
At Western State Western. Hospital.
Okay.
She was later, and very late in life, moved to Watson's nursing home mm-hmm. in Madisonville.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me about your early education. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Booker T. Washington Elementary School mm-hmm. and completed 8 grades there. Then to Addicks High School.
Crispus Addicks.
Crispus Addicks. Mm-hmm. And from there, in the 30s, you were interested in. The 30s, I went there to Kentucky State College.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1930.
Okay. How many people approximately were in your graduating class?
Oh gosh, let's see. I would say there must have been about 16,
okay.
17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Want to ask you, when you were growing up, were you aware that it was a segregated society?
Of course.
Tell me about that.
There's not much to tell. It's the same situation you'd found everywhere else. We had a separate school facilities, and we bought books. We had to buy, my father had to buy my books mm-hmm. For many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, of course, black teachers, some very, very good ones. Mm-hmm. One in particular used to live next door to me here. She was known as Mrs. Dolly Brown. She was an Episcopalian by religion. And they had a little library. They tried to establish a library. And she gathered books, were sent to the church for her library, and was living next door. here, well, I was just forced to read these books. Mm-hmm. My father was an avid reader. He, none of us could go to the Carnegie Library. Mm-hmm. It was off limits to blacks. Mm-hmm. And so, consequently, he spent an awful lot of money buying books. Mm-hmm. He bought his own books. So, that got me interested in reading, mm-hmm. consequently. And, of course, my granddaddy, he read everything. Golly, the Courier Journal, because he's a dose of medicine. He read that religiously daily. Now, we didn't take this paper, but he would visit the courthouse each day. And very few people there were interested in what was going on anywhere. And he picked up the paper, brought it home every day. And of course, he just loved to know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And
do you remember which newspaper that was?
The Courier Journal.
The Courier Journal, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. There were one or two, I'm not sure, you may know this, black newspapers in Hopkinsville. Do you remember those at all when you were growing
up? Mr. Whitney could tell you all about those. The New Age, I think, was the name of one of them. And I don't remember.
Okay. Did your family ever read that?
Yes, they took everything.
Okay.
Readable.
Do you remember any of the books that were that you either read from your neighbor or that your father bought or?
Oh no. He could have had books of poetry in particular. The encyclopedias, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Okay. Did you have any favorite teachers at school?
Oh, yes. Mrs. Brown, as I spoke of, she was a history teacher and a librarian at the school. Mm-hmm. And so, she kept a book under your nose constantly. Mm-hmm. It was always, have you finished this, or have you finished that? And such a thing came in today, you want to read that, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. When you were coming along in school, was there any black history? Probably would have called it Negro history at that point.
Now, what do you mean by that? Did I have a text of that sort?
Well, did any of your teachers teach you about Booker T. Washington?
Or? Oh, yes. That was a part of every Negro History Week. We went through all of that kind of material, mm-hmm. talked about them.
Right. Okay. So you graduated high school and you went to Kentucky State.
This is true.
And what did you study there?
Well, my major was history and economics. And graduated and came home and taught mathematics. that was just an odd situation. They were short a math teacher, and I was looking for a job, which I didn't find until a long time after graduating. It seemed to me like it was forever, mm-hmm. but at any rate.
How long was it, though, really?
Oh, about
a couple years, maybe?
Oh, no. No more than that.
No more than that?
I said a little more than
that.
Because before I got situated, I taught in one of them schools out in the rurals, mm-hmm. and I taught at Crofton for 10 years, and that's teaching all grades, mm-hmm. you know, all subjects. Mm-hmm. And then I taught at Lafayette, it's further back in the country, not in South Christian. Mm-hmm. And I taught there 3 years.
Lafayette. Like Lafayette?
Yeah.
Spelled like Lafayette.
That's true.
Okay.
pronunciation, I think, is the only difference.
And these were all black schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, and then you came to teach here in Hopkinsville.
In Hopkinsville, 7th and 8th grade math.
Mm-hmm. At the Booker T. Washington?
No, at the 7th grade had moved to Attucks to become a junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in with that system, as that system progressed.
So when you came in, it was still a segregated system?
Yes, it was still segregated.
Okay.
While I was working with the math situation there, the new math was became very important, and I introduced that to our students at my school, and when they started integrating, well, I was one of the first to be taken into the integrated situation, and I left there and went to Kaufman Junior High. It was a white school. Mm-hmm. And it was terminated, and we went to Hopkinsville High and Hopkinsville Middle School. So I was swallowed up into that situation.
Okay. Let me go back and ask you. The Supreme Court issued the Brown decision in 1954. And then how soon after that did Hopkinsville move to integrate the schools?
We started it, I think, in 64.
64?
I believe.
Or 54?
Oh, did it, I believe was it about... 60-some.
Was it 10 years after the Supreme Court decision?
Maybe not. I don't know the years.
Okay. Well, tell me how you felt about that, all of that change.
Well, I wondered how I would fit into it, and I wondered how it would accept me. And, I was just cautious because there were all kinds of feelings. Everybody had a feeling, I and they. And so it was my determination to be a good teacher. And personally, I don't understand how you can be a good teacher and choose the subjects to teach. That I mean the persons. Mm-hmm. If you're a teacher, you're a teacher. If you have something to sell, you sell it to anybody that needs it. Mm-hmm. And so this is what attitude I had.
Mm-hmm. How about the other black teachers? Did any of them lose their jobs with integration?
The elderly of that at that time did. Almost en masse. Several of them were left out.
And was that because they were elderly and black? And what reason did the school system give to them, do you know?
Well, some of them had not completed their education. But we noted that the same thing was true about the white teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But the white teachers were allowed to go and complete theirs mm-hmm. on the job.
Mm-hmm.
But all little things happened.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the black teachers assigned lower positions?
Those that were hired were hired on the level where they were, just as I.
Okay. What about the principals of the black schools?
They went other places.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they do that, do you know?
They didn't have jobs here.
Okay. How did the children in the black schools feel about all of this?
Well, there was a difference of opinions. You know, everyone had said that the white schools were superior, so superior to the black schools. And many parents thought that their children were going to just go into a heavenly situation and just get along fine. And then there were others that thought that the children may not fit so well. But they managed. There were a few interruptions. Some white teachers didn't like the idea of having to be bothered with black children. And of course a child is easy to insult. They didn't feel that they were wanted, and they were made to feel that they were not wanted, and they reacted in an unwanted situation. Like anyone else would that didn't feel wanted. That's something that they thought they had a right to.
I understand there's an NAACP chapter here.
There he is.
That has been here a good while. Where were they with the whole school integration?
Oftentimes they weren't very active. And at that particular point, they were not too active. They have become more active later.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of issues have they been more active about?
Well, just a normal situation. Integrating the facilities in the city for everyone's use, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, opening up the library and restaurants and
mm-hmm.
stores.
That's correct.
Okay. When those sorts of efforts were being made to open up public accommodations,
mm-hmm.
Were there any sit-ins or demonstrations in Hopkinsville?
There might have been, but they were so minor that they weren't brought to light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were they ever reported in the newspaper that you're aware of?
Not to a great extent.
Okay. How was the newspaper in the 50s and 60s here? What kind of coverage did they give to the African American community generally in the paper?
Well, it was shaded to fit the paper,
mm-hmm.
the policy of the paper.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
No, I don't. I can't point out anything. Okay. I wouldn't dare attempt it.
Okay. So how long did you teach?
I thought 35 years.
Okay. And then retired from teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me, did you have a family along the way?
I've had a husband. We didn't have any children.
Okay.
We adopted a family.
Hmm.
And that's how I got my children. He's dead now. But
Husband is dead now.
Mm-hmm.
But is the family?
No. They're living in Florida. It just so happened that this little girl finished Tennessee State College and came to Hopkinsville to work. Mm-hmm. And she rented a room from us. Mm-hmm. And we fell in love with her, and she with us. Mm-hmm. And at the time, she was courting a classmate at Tennessee State, and shortly thereafter, after having moved here, they got married. And so we just adopted two of them, mm-hmm. as our children, and she's the cause of me being in the hospital someday.
She is.
Yes. I was sitting here, I was ailing, and I had talked with her about an hour and a half Saturday, and I sat here a few moments, and I said, I don't feel like going to church, and I just think I'll just stay here. And the phone rang, and it was she. And I said, well, what are you calling me about? I said, who told you to call me? She says, how do you feel? I said, I don't feel too well. You sure? What's wrong? I said, well, I have heart trouble. And so she said, hadn't you better go to the emergency room? I said, oh, I don't think it's that serious. She said, well, who told you to call me? She said, I don't know. So I came in from church, and something told me to call Odessa. Just call her. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, God must have revealed to her that I was not well. And she called. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'll call you back in about 30 minutes, and if you aren't feeling any better, we'd see about you going to the hospital, going to the emergency room. And so I was just sitting here thinking about it. I said, I'm not going to an emergency room. Someone rang the doorbell. I got up and go to the door. And I said, well, I wonder who that is. And it was my neighbor next door. She had called next door. He answered. I said, hello, Sputnik. I said, what do you want? Miss Inez just called me, and she said, be sure to take you to the emergency room today.
Hmm. What is his name again?
Oh, that's his nickname.
His name is
Melton. He's called Sputnik.
Sputnik, okay.
You can understand when he was born, can't
right.
you?
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I said, honey, he said, I can't refuse Miss Inez because she told me definitely to see mm-hmm. to it that you go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Well, so he said, how long is it going to take you to get some clothes on? And I told him. So he came back and took me.
Good thing. Were you active? Were you and your family active in a church while
yes.
you were growing up?
Yes. Oh yes, that was part of, you know, granddad preaching, mm-hmm. I had to be in the church.
Right. Right. Were you active with the Virginia Street Baptist?
That's right.
So are you one of their 50-year members? Or?
Yes.
Okay. I just saw the plaque,
uh-huh.
but I didn't stop to look mm-hmm. at the names.
Well, you wouldn't have noticed my name in particular anyway.
Well, I might have.
Okay.
Right. So, since I knew I was coming to see you.
Yeah.
I wonder, how was the church active here in the whole integration movement in any way?
Not too very. It wasn't mentioned very much at my church. Reverend Lastly, the former pastor, was also a teacher. He taught school as well as preached, and he was determined not to have any, to mix it up. He didn't want to get in it, period. So it wasn't discussed too much in that church.
Why was that? Was there some fear that teachers who became involved would be punished in some way, or?
One tried to dodge that type of thing. He just wanted to stay out of the way of it. Don't stir it, let it be.
Excuse me. Okay. Were you a member of the NAACP?
I am not. I wasn't at that particular time.
Okay. Were you aware, though, of people? Did you know people who belonged to the NAACP here in the 50s? In the 60s?
My father was a charter member of the NAACP.
Okay. Do you have any idea approximately how many people belonged to the NAACP?
I wouldn't speculate. I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't try guessing.
Because you didn't attend meetings in the 50s or 60s?
I didn't think about it. It just wasn't something that...
Okay.
I gave any deep concern to.
Okay. I know in some communities in Kentucky, the graduates and the teachers of the black schools, even today, have reunions.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that is true in Hopkinsville.
Well, but yes, we have an Attucks reunion, I think it's every 2 years. And I believe this is the year. It always comes along about the 4th of June.
You were saying that they come home July 4th.
Generally, it's around that time when they have the Attucks reunion.
Okay. How long does the reunion last, and what kinds
about
of...
About 3 days.
Okay, what kinds of activities?
Well, we generally have a general meeting, and then they have the social side, and bring in former graduates of Attucks, and they make speeches, and they have a big dance, and then we have a picnic.
Mm-hmm. What happens at the general meeting?
Well, just items of interest to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Sort of business?
Well, perhaps I would think this year there would be some discussion about the coming up elections and what's of interest to blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's saying what and why, and my opinion and somebody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So sort of an educational
forum.
Okay. Does the Alumni Association have a name?
Other than Attucks Alumni.
Attucks Alumni. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do they ever raise money for scholarships or anything like that?
Probably so. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't speak to that.
Do you go to the reunions?
Yes, I go to the big meeting.
Mm-hmm. But you don't do all the social...
I don't do a whole lot of...
Okay. I want to ask you a few questions about voting and politics in Hopkinsville. And for the black community in particular, have they always been able to vote? Were they able to vote before the 50s, or were there problems around their voting, or did people try and buy their votes?
I don't know about that.
Okay. Did you vote in the 50s?
I always
and
voted.
60s? I knew you'd
it
say
was
that.
Mandatory.
Well,
my granddad said yes and vote.
Was
always.
Your dad active in politics?
Not too active. He was in the civil service and they didn't participate in that sort of thing.
They had the Hatch Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. In the 50s and the 60s, which political party was the most popular in the black community in Hopkinsville?
Well, they were mostly Republican until later years when they discovered that they were being treated better by the Democrats. And so, almost en masse, we became Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, you have, in Hopkinsville, in the white community, you have former Governor Breathitt, who grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
How was he viewed by the black community when he was, I guess he was the attorney for the school board for a while, wasn't he, when he was here?
He probably was. I'm not aware.
Okay. But then when he became governor?
He and Mr. Whitney were very fast friends.
Oh, I didn't ask him that. Okay. But how was he viewed as
he was not the name that we mentioned lovingly. He was not.
Mm-hmm.
However, those people that were high up in the Democratic workings seemed to thought favorably of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're coming to the end here.
I think so too.
Okay. You've been a good interview.
Go away.
Well, you think you haven't given me much information, but you have. So, is there anything else you can think of that I haven't asked you about in the 50s and the 60s? Oh, housing. I wanted to ask you about housing. Are there little black sort of communities in Hopkinsville?
Well, in the east end of Hopkinsville, we find a concentration of blacks. But those that are looking for, or that are able, are buying lots on the outskirts of town and building their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
They, for a long while, the houses conformed to a sort of gunshot type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting a little way away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making more money now and we're able to afford more.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting in other areas,
mm-hmm.
larger, better homes.
But in the 40s, in the 50s, and 60s,
there was a concentration in the city in the east end of Hopkinsville.
Okay. Hopkinsville has a fairly large black population.
Yes. Did Mr. Whitney tell you how many?
I looked up the 1990 census, but it just gave the total population.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you is, has that black population sort of stayed the same, or have people left the area?
Well, I tell you what, I can't speak to that too well. Because jobs, people have left here and found great jobs.
Mm-hmm.
and they're doing very, very well. We were very proud of our Adams graduates because most of them, when they come home, they tell us of the two new jobs that they have, all the jobs that they have, and the way they're raising their families and everything. And it's all so true to, it's so pleasant to view that they are doing so well. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to wait for integration to branch out. They received a type of education that gave them the aim to aim. They aimed well, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and they're doing well, mm-hmm. in spite of the fact that they went to segregated schools.
Mm-hmm. But they had to leave Hopkinsville
to find their niche. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are there places where people leaving Hopkinsville are likely to go, like Chicago,
well,
Indianapolis?
They started at Chicago and Indianapolis and Michigan, Detroit, and some in California. Some friends of ours are in California and doing very, very well.
How about Nashville?
Well, we do have those there, because I have some students there mm-hmm. that are doing very, very well mm-hmm. out there. Vanderbilt Hospital, one of my students is doing quite well there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As they get older, do they ever come back to Hopkinsville to live?
Oh, yes, not to live. They visit frequently.
Right, but I mean to live, like to retire or...
Why would one come back to Hopkinsville to retire?
Well, actually, I've talked to, and it's usually women, mm-hmm. who say, well, you know, I lived in Syracuse, New York, or I lived in Kansas, but when my parents started to get old, they needed help.
And the and ones that come back here seemingly come back and get their parents and take them away.
Okay.
Give them another life.
Okay. Okay. And that just varies with the family.
Of course.
Right. Okay. You don't think it has anything to do with the town?
Oh, no, they just have gotten used to a better way of life.
Okay.
And they, you know, when you get something started, you won't come back down here to start over. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think about leaving Hopkinsville?
Oh, no, I didn't have. I had to stay with Daddy.
No, Daddy, your husband?
No,
or
well,
your father?
My father.
Yeah.
My stepmother passed before he did, and of course I devoted all of my time to him.
How old were you when your grandfather died?
I must have been about 25 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Well, both your father and your grandfather sound like very special men.
Oh, they were. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from them. They liked to talk politics and they liked to talk issues, and they... I just enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is there anything else you can think of? No? Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to me.